Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne lives in Atlanta, and her preaching is entitled, "May Our Every Word Be Like Water."
A reading from the book of Numbers. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses on the pretext of the marriage he had contracted with a Cushite woman. They complained, "Is it through Moses alone that the Lord speaks? Does he not also speak through us?" And the Lord heard this. Now Moses himself was by far the meekest man on the face of the earth. So at once the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the meeting tent." And the three of them went. Then the Lord came down in the column of cloud, and standing at the entrance of the tent, called Aaron and Miriam. When both came forward, he said, "Now listen to the words of the Lord. Should there be a prophet among you, in visions I will reveal myself to him. In dreams I will speak to him, not so with my servant Moses. Throughout my house he bears my trust. Face to face I speak to him, plainly and not in riddles. The presence of the Lord he beholds. Why then did you not fear to speak against my servant Moses?" So angry was the Lord against them that when he departed and the cloud withdrew from the tent, there was Miriam, a snow-white leper. When Aaron turned and saw her a leper, he said to Moses, "Ah, my Lord, please do not charge us with the sin that we have foolishly committed. Let her not thus be like a stillborn babe that comes forth from its mother's womb with its flesh half consumed." Then Moses cried to the Lord, "Please, not this. Please heal her." For almost a month now, our first reading of the day has traced the Exodus journey of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt toward the promised land of their ancestor Abraham. And we've become acquainted, or reacquainted, with a whole cast of characters. Moses and God, of course, in the lead roles, but then also Moses' family, his mother, Yocheved, the Pharaoh and the Pharaoh's daughter, Moses' brother Aaron, and one of the most intriguing characters of all, Moses' older sister Miriam. Miriam first appeared without name early in our reading of this story a few weeks back as the one who guarded over her baby brother's reed basket in the Nile River when his life was in danger. The one who cleverly suggested to Pharaoh's daughter that her own mother serve as a wet nurse who could care for the baby. In Jewish tradition, however, Miriam appears even earlier. Jewish Midrash says that Miriam, who was born into the desolation of slavery and whose very name means bitterness in Hebrew, was nevertheless a child full of hope. And that when the Israelites decided to stop having children because they didn't want their sons to be slain under Pharaoh's cruel order, Miriam spoke up to her parents about not giving up on the future in such a way. Like John the Baptist in the wilderness, she announced to her parents they were destined to have a son who would liberate Israel from slavery. In Jewish tradition, Miriam is lifted up as the first of seven women named as prophets in Scripture. Later in our reading, if the lectionary reading for July 20th would have gone on for just one verse longer, we would have met Miriam again beside the water. But this time it would have been the water of the Red Sea that parted for the Israelites while swallowing the Egyptian army whole. She'd have been clapping her tambourine and singing a song of jubilation. Just as Moses was plucked from the water to new life, so has the whole people of Israel been plucked from the water to new life. And Miriam's lyrics at this moment once again speak of a great hope. But today, now we find a most perplexing story that feels, well, a bit unfair. The prophet Miriam is talking with her brother Aaron about Moses' marriage. What exactly they are all hot and bothered about is a bit fuzzy. But their words here, whatever they were, anger God, and Miriam is struck with leprosy. It's not clear whether she ever recovers. In two more days, if you're following the lectionary closely, spoiler alert, Miriam will die. And the water in the wilderness of Zin will dry up. The people will be left without anything to drink. Now, how about that? So much ink has been spilt on the passages that we read today in both Jewish and Christian tradition, and so many questions the passage raises. Why was Miriam struck down and not Aaron? Why so harsh a condemnation? Are we looking at sexism in the scripture here? Yes, quite possibly. And I don't really purport to know what we, as a faith community, are supposed to take from this story. But I'll tell you what I've been thinking about and praying about while marinating in this passage. It's well known that leprosy in the Bible is not really leprosy as Hansen's disease, as we think of it medically today. The climate was not right for that. But the Hebrew word is actually tzaarat, which we have historically translated leprosy in English, but really just means whitening of the skin. In the biblical worldview, it was not considered something that naturally happened to people, but a supernatural affliction to warn people against lashon hara, evil speech. It was thought that evil speech could whiten the color of the walls of one's house, one's leather, one's clothes, and even eventually one's skin. I wonder if for those of us who feel called in some way to be prophetic, and I suspect that many of us listening to a Dominican website would include ourselves in that category, need to be especially careful about our speech, in part simply because the words we speak are so very powerful. As prophets, our words often carry a special weight for those around us. And if we gossip, if we talk about stuff of which we don't really know, if we broadcast opinions about stuff we don't really understand, we have the potential to do disproportionate harm. There's a special care of speech that prophets need to exercise. Because the words of a prophet are supposed to be like water, slaking the thirst of a world desperate for hope and truth. And without the message we bear, the land shrivels under a desert sun. And so today, as we continue this Exodus journey toward the Promised Land, let us pause to reflect on our own speech and whether it furthers the liberation of those around us or whether it tears down and diminishes. Because each and every word counts for those of us called to be prophets.